Take your Bibles, please, tonight and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 8. We're going to pick up where we left off last time in our study of the priest-type consecration and the need for cleansing. You and I have a responsibility to keep ourselves clean before God, to keep ourselves pure before Him in our spiritual life, to keep ourselves pure before Him in our physical life. And we're going to look here at this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to get into the cleansing aspect. We're picking up where we left off last time as we took a tour of the temple. The Lord had appeared unto Ezekiel in captivity in Babylon, and in a vision carried him back to Jerusalem and took him on a tour of the temple. And we looked last time as they entered into the temple area, and he said, "Notice, Ezekiel, all of the idols that are present." The idol Asherah was out at the outside of the temple area known as the temple of the Gentiles, the court of the Gentiles. As they proceeded inside to the inside of the temple, there was again the goddess of Asherah, or Ashtaroth as she's called, the goddess of fertility, Canaanite god. And then as they proceeded into the holy place and holy of holies, there again were the idols that were present and the inscribings in the holy place. Matter of fact, he had Ezekiel dig into an opening in the wall in the most holy place. And as he dug into the wall, he said, "Look and see." And there was all manner of abominations that were crawling about the floor and in the picture of a dead corpse, basically, with the maggots and the worms and so on. That was the picture of the inside of the temple area. There were inscriptions that were placed inside the most holy place, representative of the gods rather than the beautiful pictures that had been first inscribed there, bringing honor unto the Lord. Very terrible type situation that was there. Over in one corner of the court of the Gentiles, there were some women that had gathered there, and the Bible tells us that they were weeping. And what were they weeping over? They were weeping over the fact that the god Tammuz had come and gone. Speaking of the sun god, women weeping for the sun god. The idolatrous worship of Tammuz was that they considered Tammuz to be spring. And when Tammuz would rise from the dead after being away for a period of time, springtime would come back to the land again, and seeds would grow forth and all of these things. And then whenever the fall would come and all the plants would die and would be harvested, Tammuz would go away for the wintertime, and they were over there weeping because the sun had gone down as a picture of the end of harvest time. What a terrible situation. All of it in the temple area. Not up in the hills or out in the woods somewhere, but they had all come into the town and they had moved into the temple and they brought all of this stuff and they called this the worship of Jehovah. This was the worship of Jehovah. A terrible scene. We had spoken already about the temple-type consecration being the picture of salvation, of God moving in, His presence moving into the most holy place and the priests leaving that area. Moving out of that area, and as they moved back, the presence of God began to move into that temple, and the Solomon's temple was filled with the glory of God, and the priests, 1 Kings chapter 8, were not even able to minister. They had to stop their ministering because the presence of God overwhelmed them. Oh, what a picture for us today. Sometimes we get so busy that the presence of God is not even noticed. We're just too busy. We've got what we're doing, and we've got to get it done. Well, let me tell you something. If the presence of the Lord is not indwelling you, if you are not moving where the presence of God wants to move you, then all your work and all your labor is for naught. It's just idle work that you're doing. We need to find our strength and our inspiration from the Holy Spirit of God, from the most holy place, which is our temple, our body. This is where the Holy Spirit has chosen to dwell. We have become a temple, the Bible says. And then after that becomes the priest-type consecration. We're called priests in the book of Revelation and in 1 Peter. As priests before the Lord, we are to serve Him. We are to honor Him with our bodies. There is a one-time consecration that takes place for service unto the Lord. There is no second consecration and third consecration. After the consecration of the believer in service to God, there is cleansing from defilement. There is the constant need for cleansing. And I want to get into that with you tonight. But I want to read verse 12 here of Ezekiel chapter 12, because this is such a telling verse. Ezekiel chapter 8, excuse me, in verse 12. Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man. What did God want Ezekiel to focus on? He says to Ezekiel, I want you to look at this. I want you to see this. Hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now I want us to focus on that thought for just a moment as we go into this matter and need for cleansing. There is a temptation as we live here upon this earth to forget that God sees us every moment of the day and every moment of the night. There is not a place you can go, there's not an airplane you can take to escape the vision of God. God sees you all the time. He knows your innermost thoughts. He knows every fiber of your being. He sees even to the Bible says, the thoughts and intents of the heart. And as we find here, he says, Ezekiel, I want you to see what's going on here. These people here don't think I see them. These people here, the high priests and the leaders of Israel, do not believe that I see what's going on, but I see all of it. Do you know, I think that's one of the biggest wake-up calls to the church today, that God sees everything that's going on, that He sees what's going on in our spare moments. He sees what's going on the computer. He sees what's going on watching television or going places you ought not to go or the thoughts that you're thinking. Do you not understand that God sees everything? One of the things that has permeated our culture today is deceit. Getting away with things. Doing things and getting away with it and then becoming more bold in that action. They were talking about these two burglars up in Connecticut that killed, a woman and her two children. Very horrible case up there. But the emphasis was this. These men had been petty robbers, thieves, never had committed a violent crime in all of their career. One of them was a 21-year career criminal. The other one was fairly young. He only had a 10-year career criminal. They got together in prison. And they began to talk about what they were going to do when they were going to get out, because they found out they were going to get out about the same time. And so their petty thievery, their petty robbery, where they would sneak in the house, they got bold in the later years where they would go in the daytime and so forth. But they said, we're going to do this. We're going to go in there. And if we see anybody, we're going to take care of business. How wicked and corrupt the human heart is. But they had lived their whole lives. This was the comment that was made. They had lived their lives deceiving people. They had become masters at deceiving people. And if you're not careful, parent, you can rear a child that practices deceit and you're not smart enough to see it and deal with it. You need to ask God to help you in the training of your children. Lord, help me to catch them whenever they do something wrong. You may go for a couple of months and you say, well, we haven't had any bad things happen. Well, you need to be worried about that. Some people say, well, we just have them so well trained. Well, that may be the case, but it's not the case very often. You better start checking. You better start looking into things. You better start finding out what they're doing. Because there may be some stuff going on. I've told this story many, many times. And I'll share it again because it lays out what we're talking about. A young man that I had in my fifth grade class who was sleeping all day in class. And I went to the mom and I said, listen, we need to find out what's going on with this young boy. He's sleeping all the time. He said, well, he goes to bed at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock? What's he doing? I said, would you check on him tonight? Well, she went in at 11 o'clock. Long story short, he had turned on his little mini lights and he had on a set of earphones and he was listening to rock music. He was listening to that stuff till all hours, the wee hours of the morning. She had no idea. Daddy had no idea. It goes on, folks. We need to be careful of that. We need to be watching for that deceitful nature, because here these people, these priests and these leaders were gathered in the temple. They were involved in all their immoral iniquity. there in the house of God, calling it the worship of Jehovah. And they said to themselves, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. In other words, the Lord's given up on worrying about this kind of stuff. We don't need to worry. Let's just enjoy ourselves and do our thing. I want to tell you something. God said, I see every bit of it. And he said, I'm taking them into captivity. Ezekiel, I want you to know why. I want you to know why I took the children of Israel, the children of Judah, into captivity. Because they profaned my house. The job of the high priest was to keep my house pure. And they didn't do it. Now, I want to tell you something. Our responsibility is to keep our house pure. Young people, you trust Christ as your Savior, your primary responsibility is to keep your house pure. How do you do that? You stay in the Word of God. You don't have to make promises and buy rings and put on necklaces that say all those things. All you need to do is get in the precious Word of God and keep your heart and mind saturated in the Word of God, and then cleanse yourself from sin by calling upon His name and saying, oh God, be merciful. Cleanse me by Thy blood. That's what's required. You see, the most subtle abomination is the turning of your back to God and still think that you're facing Him. Turning your back to God, doing your own thing, and still think that you're embracing Him. Oh, what a foolish thing. Cleansing, the provision for defilement. That's what I want to get to tonight as we look at the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, don't turn there, just listen carefully. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, he's talking to believers here. Dearly beloved. And he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, what's Paul saying here? Paul is saying that as an individual Christian, you have a responsibility to keep yourself pure, to cleanse not only the filthiness of the flesh, but the filthiness of the what? Spirit. There are a lot of people that may not go out and commit adultery with their body, but in their spirit, they do it on a regular basis. What a sad thing. What a sad commentary. There are preachers today that have not committed adultery as far as their physical body, but they've been on the internet watching all kinds of pornography, or they've been sneaking out doing all the things that they shouldn't be doing, and they have defiled themselves spiritually by what they've taken in. We have a responsibility to keep ourselves clean from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That means that we've got to put away from us temptation. We've got to put away from us temptation. If you've got a problem, the Bible says, if our hand offends thee, do what? Cut it off. It's better to go into hell with one hand than it is with two hands and compound the sin and the iniquity. We need to have a responsibility. If your eye offends you, you've got a problem with your eyes wandering, it'd be better if you plucked them out. Don't put yourself in those kind of situations. You got a problem where you want that you have it go on the computer and you're looking at things you want, then get rid of your computer right again. That's what you have to do. Well, you know, in this day and age, you can't live without a computer. You can if you're a Christian. You can live without your computer if you're spending a lot of time on there and doing things you ought not to be doing. Think about it. Meditate on that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in John 13 and verse 8, Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. In other words, Peter said, I don't need cleansing. Lord, you don't need to wash my feet. And God said to him, If I don't wash your feet, you don't have anything to do with me. That's a very important lesson for us. You and I have a constant need every hour of the day for cleansing. When was the last time you got on your knees before the Lord and said, Lord, cleanse me of my sin? Or stop what you were doing, or in your car, or maybe you're at your desk at work, or maybe you're on your way somewhere and the Lord burdens you with the fact that you have not confessed your sin. You need to stop and say, oh Lord, I've picked up the filth and dirt of this world today. Lord, I need cleansing. I need cleansing through your blood. And then the study of the Word of God. The study of the Word of God is a great revealer of sin. The study of the Word of God is a cleansing agent for sin. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us. Now, I want you to know today that religion is promoting all kinds of alternate cleansing programs. Religion is offering all kinds of alternate cleansing programs. Here's one. Atoning for sin by committing to help your fellow man. There's all kinds of atonement projects that you hear from religion today. If you involve yourself for so many hours of community service, then God will be pleased and He will overlook your sin. That won't work. Secondly, atoning by volunteering your time in a destitute area, building houses for a month, or helping with people who are riddled with a terrible disease. You can atone for your sin by helping in that regard. Will not work. Here's one that's become popular. Atoning by going into rehab. Here we see this today where people who are involved in all kinds of drug-related type stuff or alcohol-related type stuff think that they can somehow find atonement by going to rehab. I don't find that in the Bible, do you? It's not there. This is the most popular option today. Here's another one. Atoning by losing your prominent position and taking a lesser role that you are not used to. This is what's happened with some of our college presidents and pastors today. College president that was involved in some things. He was going to massage parlors and was having all these kind of things, and he made a pass at one of the girls, and then he didn't go back there. He thought everything was smooth, and all of a sudden, four of them showed up and said, "We want to speak to the board of the Bible college. We've got something to tell you that happened." All came out into the open. You know what he's doing today? He's pastoring. He was taken into a church. He went into rehab. And he promised that he would never do it again. And so they brought him in and they've made him now the visitation pastor, one of the largest churches, fundamental, quote-unquote, churches in Illinois. Brought him back. And they patted themselves on the back saying, "How wonderful we were able to redeem this man." Now I want to tell you something. There are some things that disqualify. And that's one of them. We don't believe the Bible anymore. It's what it amounts to. And we have somebody else that is involved in drinking, gets pulled over and has given two DUIs, a pastor, and we bring him back in and we say, "We want you to do this task over here." It's not pastoring, but it's still, close enough and you will still be out in the public vision. What is that? That's not cleansing from defilement. That's doing what God says you can't do. There are certain things that disqualify from ministry. You need to do something else. The Bible makes it clear. Atoning by joining a group that specializes in the area that you have a weakness in. You can atone by joining yourself or affiliating yourself. And for instance, like this phrase, overcoming sin by being in. Wow. Overcoming sin by being in. In other words, you join this group, you have an accountability group, and you can overcome your sin by being in this group. Well, I don't find that in the Bible. Do we find anywhere in the Bible Paul encouraging the believers to join with a group? Or say, you need to conduct throughout Asia Minor. We need to get groups together. We've got a lot of alcoholism problems in Corinth. We need to set up a group there so that we can overcome. What does Paul say to that group? You need to get right with God. And the man that's involved in the iniquitous affair with his mother-in-law, kick him out of the church. Get him out. Well, that doesn't sound like group therapy to me, does it? No, it doesn't. Why? Because we've made up stuff. We've made up stuff today in the church and we brought it in and said, "This is what we're going to do," but it doesn't square with the Bible. Oh, how sad. Here's another thing. Atoning by talking. Atoning by talking. One ad recently in the Sword of the Lord has the logo for an addictions program that takes the cross symbol. You have the three crosses. All right? Three crosses pictured there, and by each of the crosses it has ALK, ALK, ALK. Now you talk about blasphemous. Taking the symbol of the cross, which looks like the letter T, and saying, talk, talk, talk. That's how we overcome our sin, is by talking. Well, that's the world's way of overcoming sin, is it not? If you get into a big enough jam, let's get all together and let's talk about it. Let's talk our way through this. You don't talk your way through sin, folks. You don't talk your way through sin. You confess your sin. You get right with God and you say, oh Lord, I've sinned against you. All this addiction stuff is nonsense. What it boils down to is that people are lost. They still love the world. They still love all the things that the world has. And they're just trying to put a Christian patch on. And what they need to do is be born again. Be wonderfully transformed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Atoning by giving away wealth and material things. There is something to be done by everyone, but not by blood, not by the Bible. I'm going to do it my way. And so they do it by giving away wealth, giving away material things, giving away all kinds of free services and so forth like that. And by that they think, I'm atoning for my sin. Now we're talking about people who claim to be Christians now. Understand this. People who claim to be Christians, these are all the different things that have come out over recent time of ways to atone for your sin without being cleansed from defilement. Now, what is God's cleansing agent? Let's look at John chapter 15 and verse 3, please. John chapter 15 and verse 3. We're going to look at two or three passages of Scripture here. John chapter 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now here is the picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is trimming His branches. He is trimming His vine. And He says to His vine, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You are a real vine. You come from a genuine branch. But I'm the one that purges. I'm the one that makes you clean, and I do so through my word. What a beautiful picture here that's given to us. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice, please, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Speaking of the church here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. Folks, there is no substitute for the cleansing agent of the word of God. Oh, how important it is that we get into God's word and that we study it. That we wash our souls on a daily basis with the word of God. You've got to get into His Word. You can't do a superficial type bath like most kids do. It's an amazing thing. You'll say, all right, go take your bath. They go jump in the bathtub and they hop back out 2 minutes later. I took my bath. And I said, go back and do it again. I took my bath, Daddy. Yeah, but your hair's dry. Now, how can you take a bath and not wash your hair? Kids can do it. Kids can do it. They can go in there and they can splash water up on them and they can come out wet from here down. And they're not clean. You take them back in there and you look them in the mirror and say, you see that? You see what's all over your face and you see your matted hair? Get back in there and do it again. And this time use soap. Get a cleansing agent. Get a rag. Get one of those, what do they call it, loofah pads. Is that right? Loofah? Is that how you say it? Ann's back there laughing because I mispronounced it or something. But loofah pad, my wife, we have loofah growing in our bathroom. I don't know if they're undersea sponges or whatever they came from, but those things, I can't use them. They're just too irritating to me. But I want to tell you something, it's supposed to make you clean. But, you know, we carry that over. We're actually more careful about our physical cleanliness than we are our spiritual cleanliness. That's what's so sad. Washing of the water of the Word. Then in John chapter 17, you don't need to turn there. I'll read this verse of Scripture from the high priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he was praying, he says this in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That word sanctify there means to cleanse. Cleanse them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we find here that the cleansing agent of the Lord, first of all, is the water of the word. The water of the word. Are you clean tonight? When you came in that door tonight, were you clean or are you dirty? This is the reality of quote-unquote Christian living. We get up in the morning and we go through our daily routines and we rush off to work and we come home at night, we're all tired and we prop up in the evening time and we do our daily schedule. What about cleansing? What about spiritual cleansing? Are we in the Word of God? As you read the Word of God, there's convicting power. That's one thing about the sound words of the Scripture. There is tremendous convicting power, and it begins immediately to reveal our faults. We don't like that, do we? We find out we're not as good as we advertised ourselves to be. We're not as fine as we think we are. The Word of God has a cleansing, purging effect in our lives, and we need to be in the Word. But then secondly, I want you to see the blood. 1 John 1:9, if you'll turn there, please. And we'll finish up our time tonight in this passage of Scripture. 1 John 1:9, one of the most powerful verses in the Scripture. One of the most misunderstood verses in the Scripture. Let's begin at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, make the connection from John chapter 17 and verse 17, where it says, "Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Cleanse them through thy truth." Here we say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what do we know from that? We know that the truth is not in us. And yet we go around and we talk about Jesus and we talk about being Christians and people talk about loving the Lord, and yet they're just as vile and filthy as they can be. The truth's not in them. They've deceived themselves. Notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, I believe that this particular passage addresses both the unsaved and the saved. I think this is very clear. It addresses the unsaved, dealing with them about this matter of darkness. We say that we are light and we have not Christ, then we're in darkness. But we also have the picture here of indwelling sin as a result of being a Christian and not calling upon the Lord to cleanse us of our sin. The cleansing of the blood, confessing our sins, is taking a hateful sin and holding it up before God and letting Him look at it. Held up before God in the white light of heaven, a sin does not look as nearly as beautiful as it did when we yielded to its temptation. Now think about that for just a moment. What is confession of sin? Confession of sin is when God has shined His light upon your sin and revealed the vileness of it. It's like going to the trunk of the car that you suspect there's a dead body in there. Imagine having to be a police officer and having to be called upon that kind of a thing. To know we've got a car here that's abandoned and we believe that there's a foul smell coming from the car. We believe that there's a dead body. Can you imagine being the one having to go over there and take the key and put it into the trunk and then open that up and have to see what is there? But that's our heart, folks. Our God reveals our wicked, vile, filthy heart and exposes it for all of its stench and all of its awfulness. And you say, "Lord, that's my heart, and I want to confess what my heart is like before Thee." It's letting the light of God be exposed down into the very innermost being of where you live. Holding it up before the light and letting you see what it's really like. You see, sin is always beautiful. Sin is always beautiful. That's how the devil works. He works by making sin beautiful. That's why we have a Hollywood. That's why we have a Bollywood now over in India. Got the same kind of stuff. Dressing up sin, trying to make sin respectable, trying to make sin look popular, trying to make sin look wonderful. Devil doesn't make sin look ugly. We get that from the Word. You understand that? We get our understanding of sin from the Word. The Word, you won't find the ugliness of sin out there in the world. They won't tell you the truth about it. But you'll get the truth from the precious Word of God. The human side of cleansing is confession. Think about that for just a moment. The human side of cleansing is confession. I can't take away my sin, but I can confess my sin when it's been exposed to me and I know it's there. I know it's there, and I confess it to the Lord. That's the human side, the responsibility we have. And then God moves in and does His cleansing work in our heart. When we have become defiled, we must come to Jesus Christ humbly. Our tendency is to hide our sin. That's our tendency. That is the tendency of people in our churches today, is to take our sin and go hide it. We're like Achan. Achan went and stole from the city of Jericho. He took a garment, Babylonian garment, and he took some gold, and he went back to his tent and he buried it down in the ground. You ever thought about that? How foolish we are. We try to hide things. He dug a hole in his tent and put all that stuff in there. Can you imagine the discussion? Now, maybe they had some blankets or something that he put down over it. But, you know, there's Dad in there. He's digging away. What is Dad doing? Well, Dad stole something. He's trying to hide it. He's trying to keep folks, but you can't hide sin. That's the one thing that God has so ordained in this universe, that sin cannot be hid. I read about this week. There was a politician, I believe it was, in a Western town who had been involved in some immorality and so forth. He took his hard drive out of his computer and he went out, unbeknownst to anybody else that he knew of, and he threw it into the river. There were some boys that were swimming along, snorkeling, and they found the hard drive that he had thrown in there, and he was exposed for all of his shenanigans that he was doing. You talk about somebody working hard to hide it, and then these boys come along and find the hard drive sitting on the bottom of the river that he thought. He did it in the dark of night. Threw it out there in the deep parts. And nobody's going to find it there, and he probably patted himself on the back. Well, this is a brilliant plan. And 3 or 4 weeks later, here are these boys out there snorkeling and swimming, and look what they find. Be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot hide your sin. The responsibility of a Christian is to confess your sin, not hide your sin. You don't believe me? Just go ahead. Keep living the way you're doing. Just watch out, though, because it's going to come back. It's like one of those swinging balls. I remember as a child, whenever the First National Bank was taken down by the old wrecking ball. Anybody remember that? I remember Dad taking us down there, and we watched that big old wrecking ball and that crane, and he would just swing it just a little bit, and it would come in there, and it hit the side of the building, and the bricks were going everywhere, and they brought it down to just the foundation. And that swinging rock, it would go away from the building, and here it would come. It would come in and would crush. And there are a lot of people that are living in the interim time. Oh, man, this is great. I can do whatever I want to do. I did this and God didn't punish me. Oh, look what I got away with today. I was able to go this and I didn't get any punishment from God. But wait a minute. The wrecking ball is on its way. It's coming through. You cannot do wrong and get away with it. Our responsibility is to confess our sin. Cleansing from our sins is the work of God in our hearts after we confess our sin, as we've already learned. The Christian who has confessed his sins ought not to go about with a sense of defilement. Now, this is something that's on the other side that I want to point out that the Lord burdened my heart about. Faith says, I have done that which God requires from me, and now I believe He is indeed faithful and has done His part of it. He has forgiven me, and there is no frown on His blessed face. He has cleansed me, and I am clean, and I am going forward in His service with a full assurance that He is abiding in the secret chambers of my being. There are some people that keep confessing the same sin over and over and over again. There's something wrong with that. You need to accept what God has said. Whenever we call upon Him and confess our sin, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and to cleanse us. That's His work. He promises to do that. Why would we walk around with this sense of defilement all the time? Well, then there's something not right about that situation. You don't understand confession, or else you're not saved. Maybe that's the case. As in the temple consecration, the setting apart of the temple for the Master's possession and presence was His work. It is our responsibility to keep the temple clean. It's our responsibility to not take this temple someplace it ought not to go. Amen? It's our responsibility. It's not God's responsibility to keep us from getting in our vehicle and going to someplace we ought not to go. It's our responsibility to do that. It's our responsibility to check on our children as a godly father or mother to make sure that they're doing what's right. I don't agree with this philosophy. Well, we have to let them, you know, explore. We have to let them, you know, they've got to find out what it's like living out in the world. They're going to find out soon enough. What they need is some loving, godly parents that will stand up and say, no, you're not going to go there. Or if we're going to go here, we're going to go together as a family. You're not going to go off by yourself. There needs to be this understanding of responsibility before God. Service should never overwhelm the ministry of separation from that which defiles. This is my final point. Service should never overwhelm the ministry of separation from that which defiles. There are a lot of excuses for doing wrong. And you know what most of them are? They're holy ones. We're going to reach souls for Jesus, and that way we're going to bring in all the Christian rock and we're going to do all this because we have a love for souls. We want to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is that what God says in His Word? That we're to utilize worldly methods? You know, the Lord warned the children of Israel. He said, don't go down and sharpen your swords on Philistine stones. That's such a remarkable illustration that's given to us in His Word. You know, they may have good sword sharpening equipment down there. But you be content with what you got here. Don't go down there and sharpen your swords on their equipment. And that's what we're doing in the church today. We're running out there and checking with the Philistines to see how they do things. We're checking with the world. We're checking with culture. We're checking with Hollywood. How would you do this? How would you think? We're going to combine Hollywood and the church together. We can have an impact on the world. It's an excuse to have our worldliness. That's what it is. Service should never overwhelm the ministry of separation. That is keeping the temple clean. Keeping the temple clean. You remember how God took Ezekiel into the temple? He said, dig in the wall. And saw all the abominations that were present there. And He said, do you see all the leaders and all the priests and all the iniquity that they're doing in the dark? This temple needs cleansing. This temple needs cleansing. And He cleansed it by removing the children of Judah and taking them into captivity and moving them out. And when the enemies of God moved in, they destroyed the temple, burned it. I want to tell you something, folks. We want to be useful to the Lord. Amen? And to be useful for the Lord, we've got to be clean. We've got to be pure. God's not going to use a dirty instrument to carry out His work. He's not going to use a dirty instrument that's thinking about vile things in your mind and planning things in your mind to do certain things that you know is wrong and contrary to God's Word. He's not going to use you no matter how many hours you might put in a Christian ministry. He's not going to use you. And I am afraid today that whenever we stand before the throne, there's going to be a great deal of weeping. Bible says He has to wipe away tears in heaven. And you know why we're going to be weeping? Because we failed Him in so many ways. But that we tried to serve Him in a defiled state. God help us to call upon His blood and to wash our souls every day. Wash it in the water of the Word. Don't take substitutes. Don't try to find some alternative. Get yourself in the Word. and let the Word work in your heart, and let the Holy Spirit show you those areas that need to be cleansed, and cry out to God, and know what it's like to have that relationship walking with the Lord every day. When you're defiled, you can't walk with Him. When you're clean, you can. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, how we need to be clean. We live in a day and age of wickedness. Every thought and every imagination of the mind is only evil continually. That was the statement that was made of Noah's generation. And you've told us in your word, Father, that in the last days, the days will be like that of Noah. Lord, we look around us and we see all the things that are taking place and that are called Christianity, which are contrary to the very written word of God. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that we would not be caught up in that. Lord, help us to call upon Thee each and every day to wash our souls. Help us not to be so busy that we can't call upon Thee. Help us not to be so wrapped up in ourselves and our plans and on what we're going to do that we have no time for Thee. We pray, dear Father, that you would do a work in our hearts tonight. And may your word speak to us. Lord, there's some here tonight got sin in their heart. They're doing things they ought not to be doing. They're going places they ought not to go. They're listening to things that they ought not to be listening to. Lord, we can't go into each home and micromanage. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to get our hearts and minds into Thy precious Word and let the exposing of our sin take place. Let the light shine in so that we can confess that sin and walk closer with Thee. Father, we pray that You would do a work tonight. We pray for our children, pray for our teenagers, we pray for those here without Christ. Lord, our hearts are burdened for them. Lord, we want to see them come to the Savior. We don't want to see a delay where their hearts get harder and harder and they cannot come to faith in Christ. We pray, dear Father, that they might be tender toward the things of Christ and they might see Jesus as the only Savior of sinners. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 386. Number 386. You know, when you think about the word consecrate in the Hebrew,